Good evening. This is a February meeting of the Harbor Management Commission, and we have a pretty full schedule this evening. First, I would like to tell everyone here that we are being recorded and televised. We will start by introducing everyone here at this table, and then we will open for public comment.
Hi, good evening, everybody. My name is Commander Andy Myers. I am the Prevention Department Head at the Coast Guard Sector, Northern New England in Portland, Maine.
Hey, good evening. Lieutenant Matt Odom. I'm the Waterways Chief at Sector, Northern New England.
Good evening. Chief Warrant Officer Robert Nichols, Ace Navigation Officer, Sector, Northern New England.
Sam Ladley, Harbor Commission Member.
Peter Smith, Harbor Commission Member.
Tom Pico, Harbor Commission Alternate.
Beverly Cowan, alternate.
David Leon, Harbor Commission.
Matt Ripley, Harbor Master.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Melissa Baker, Harbor Management. I'd like to open the floor for public comment. You will have 5 minutes, and any questions will be answered at a later time once public comment is completed. So if you'd like to go to the podium, that would be great.
I have a question about the federal anchorage. I'm just wondering, as a citizen, at what point we have a presentation from the pilotage describing all the safety that's needed for these ships and safety. My question is, at what point was it decided that we're having all these ships? 130, 900-foot ships are just suddenly coming and to our shores. So how was that decided? At what point? And also, as far as the people's voice in making, perhaps getting a voice in that decision, we have the Harbor Management Commission. I know that they make recommendations from time to time. I don't know that those are necessarily being used or going to be used. How do we ensure that they are representing us or that they're being heard? And for example, in Bar Harbor, the citizens have a committee of 40 people in addition to their Harbor Commission. So should we maybe have something like that so that we can all discuss this together rather than safety for ships that don't exist? And yes, they go from Portland to Bar Harbor. Can we discuss whether or not they should exist before we worry about their safety?
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lynn Barnard, and I live here in Rockland. And I would just like to know, are you going to be doing another presentation to the people of Owl's Head? So I don't know if you know whether you're going to be doing that or not, but the federal anchorage is more or less in their waters. So I think they're a little anxious since they heard we're having this over here tonight, but there are a lot of people who don't know about it over there. So I think it needs to be done. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments? Okay, moving right along.
Oh, we got one.
Okay, didn't see you. I'm sorry.
I can't find the folder.
They're in the right direction.
My name is Michael Gondon. I'm chairman of the Lockton Parks Commission. I'd like to just ask the Harbor Commission a few questions, and they can answer them. Who actually is your secretary on the Harbor Commission? My understanding is your bylaws are the same as the Parks Commission bylaws. You are required to have the secretary be a member of the Harbor Commission. Matt Ripley, all due respect to Matt, is not a member of the Harbor Commission. He is an advisor to the Harbor Commission. Therefore, who is putting out these minutes, and are they being sent to City Hall so everybody can get a copy of these? My next thing is, This meeting the other day, I listened to on TV. I know it's not you as the honest person, but Laughlin does not have a public land, and I want you to be aware of that. Laughlin has a harbor park. So when this gentleman was talking about MBNA being there, harbor park being there long before MBNA, that's a false statement. They might have named their land harbor park, but the harbor park is actually the old public land, and it was under city ordinance back in 1985, so it's very confusing. I hope the next time this gentleman speaks, he will clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name is David Wiley. I'm a Rockland resident. I'm just wondering, hearing the comment about Owl's Head, we've heard from various sources that the harbor master in Owl's Head, who I guess is also a pilot who has some financial gain to have more cruise ships come in, but regardless, he's been telling people it's a done deal. Nothing you can change, no more. And I was wondering, is it a done deal, or is there continued discussion with the Coast Guard to listen to the people and not just believe maybe a few subsegments of the population to see if this is something we really want?
Without any further public comment, we'll proceed to our meeting. We have invited the Coast Guard to attend our meeting this evening. We as a commission have many questions that we'd like to ask, and we will also ask the questions that were just brought forth in public comment, so thank you. If something hasn't been answered by the end of the question and answer session, please raise your hand so that I remember to ask that question. Thank you. So I think, Matt, you brought, or we asked you to bring the Coast Guard here this evening. And can you sort of give us the reasons and the backdrop to why?
So I think it would be best suited to talk with Commander Myers about the process. One of the questions... It would be best to hand it to Commander Myers, and we can talk about the process of the proposal, how that works in the Coast Guard.
Can everybody hear me? Good evening, everybody. Thanks again for having us tonight. We are fully aware that there's significant public interest in this potential or this federal anchorage area that was requested by the Penobscot Bay pilots for us to establish. And so thank you for everybody to coming out tonight. We definitely want to try to help, not ease concerns necessarily, but at least explain the process so everybody knows where we are right now in the process and all the opportunities for public comment that will transpire if we decide to move forward with a notice of proposed rulemaking in the Federal Register. But before I start going down that road, about 6 months ago, I think it was in late July, we received a request from the Penobscot Bay pilots to officially establish a federal anchorage area in that Broad Cove area off Owl's Head. And without going into all the specifics on the proposal, it's based primarily on the fact that larger cruise ships are coming to the Rockland area, and they had a number of safety-related concerns that they wanted, or they thought the federal anchorage would address. One, from a trip planning standpoint, it would allow these foreign crews that are coming into U.S. waters with a clear understanding of where the federal anchorage in Rockland is for these larger cruise ships. So they know from a voyage planning perspective where exactly their cruise ship is going to end up when they end up near the main coast. They also thought that from a transient seasonal boater perspective, it would be good to notify some of these non-residents that when they are operating in the Rockland area, they'd be able to see on a chart where they may encounter one of these, you know, 900 to 1,000 foot cruise ships. And then lastly, from a safety perspective, again, to let the lobstermen know that, you know, when a large cruise ship is coming in and we are going to be anchoring in that Broad Cove area, that is the most likely place where you could end up losing some gear if we do happen to run over it with one of these large ships. So that's a little bit of the background on their request to us. And I just want to make it clear as possible, that we have not decided yet whether or not we're going to move forward with a proposal in the Federal Register to solicit formal public comment. We're still deliberating on whether or not we're going to move forward and actually go through the formal process, because we're not certain that we think it's necessary to have that federal anchorage there yet. So I hopefully that kind of clarifies where we stand in the process. And I'll talk a little bit about the process, but just for everybody's awareness, we have not decided whether or not we're going to move forward with formally proposing this in the Federal Register. That being said, I also want to make it clear that whether or not there is a federal anchorage out there, if a large cruise ship is coming to Rockland, they do have the right to anchor in that Broad Cove area, or really anywhere in federal waters. That there's no, just because there is not a federal anchorage area on the chart, it does not mean that they can't anchor there. They do have the ability to anchor there. It's based on what the master of the vessel says and how the pilots feel it's best to anchor that ship, depending on the prevailing weather conditions, the close proximity to the town of Rockland, if they are going to be tendering passengers ashore. So the federal anchorage does not stipulate that they do not need that federal anchorage, I should say, in order to anchor there. They can do that even without a federal anchorage.
So, can I ask just a quick question?
Sure.
Then why are they requesting to change it if it's not something that... I guess I'm confused about
right.
that.
Right. So for those reasons that I mentioned, that for voyage planning, so when these large cruise ships are coming in from, mm-hmm. whether they're coming from, you know, Canada or down south in Boston, they'll be able to look at a chart and see that when they are going to Rockland, this is where they're going to anchor. So there's no ambiguity as far as where they're going to be located. And it'll allow boaters that may not be familiar with where cruise ship anchors here, mm-hmm. That these people that can look on the chart and see that this is where a cruise ship is going to be if there is a large cruise ship in Rockland.
Okay.
Question. If we create a federal anchorage out there, can we depend on ships using that anchorage and not going somewhere else? Because one of the advantages we would have is that we do have boats dropping anchor all over the place out there over the summer. If we choose one spot, say this is the anchorage, then it allows guys to protect their gear better. We can get a better idea of where they're going to be, and so we can make plans.
Right.
But are they forced to use it? If you create it, they can still go anywhere they want.
Right. They would not be forced to use it. The hope would be that that others would potentially use it also, but there's
right.
no requirement that would be where they anchor.
But chances are, if it was something on the chart, they would choose that as plan A?
Hopefully. I mean, there are the two other anchorages inside the breakwater.
Yeah,
they're
not coming inside. Then the next part of that is the one, you know, whether we have cruise ships at all in the future. The one big ship we do have arriving now is the Navy ship that comes in every year. Mm. And the Navy goes right off outside the lighthouse. And the Navy goes wherever they want. So if that's where the Navy is going to anchor every time, why don't we put the anchorage there? Because we know there's going to be a big boat there every year. And then other big boats that come, that's the spot they all go. And then we know that the rest of the area is, you know, safe to gear.
I mean, that's something that we will definitely consider if we do pursue that federal rulemaking. I mean, I think that the pilots chose that location. I don't want to speak for them completely, but they felt the holding ground in the way that the Broad Cove area protects them from
it's
more of the prevailing conditions
was
why they chose that location. Yeah. But
it's better protected from the open water, but there's a lot of gear in there, and it is close to Owl's Head Shore. You know, I know where the Navy puts it is kind of exposed to the ocean, but we know the Navy goes the same spot every time, so mm-hmm. it seems like that would be the place to put it.
It actually depends on the class of ship that comes in. So some of the larger mm-hmm. Navy ships that come in, they have actually anchored more to the north.
Mm-hmm.
The frigate that came in last year, yeah. 550 feet, they were able to go more on the southern side.
Yeah.
So it depends on the class of ship they do come in. The frigate that anchored there last year was actually relatively close to the shipping lane that, mm-hmm. that the ferry vessels use.
Yeah.
So I can only assume that maybe they wanted to try to stay as clear from that as possible. However, I believe a portion of that is actually in those lanes that they do use.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look again, but yeah.
that if I could just speak to the actual process just very briefly. Like I mentioned already, we have not decided whether or not we're going to move forward with the formal rulemaking process. So there is the possibility that we decide that the benefits of the federal language don't outweigh the risks associated with it, and that we ultimately decide not to move forward with it. So what we would do is simply send a letter or correspondence back to the Penobscot Bay pilots outlining that decision, and also we would more than likely run something in the Federal Register so everybody was aware that, yes, the Coast Guard did receive this petition to create a federal anchorage. We evaluated it and opted not to move forward with any sort of formal rulemaking. The other potential would be that we do decide to move forward with the federal rulemaking. And if that's the case, we would advertise it in the Federal Register. There would be a significant public comment period where we would also be holding public meetings like this, where we would register comments for the docket, and we would have to respond to every comment that we received as part of that federal rulemaking. And kind of along those same lines, there's a significant number of reviews, environmental reviews, economic reviews. It can potentially become a very lengthy process to make sure that all of the public's concerns are fully documented, and not just documented, but responded to by the Coast Guard before we move forward with establishing anything officially. I mean, that's, generally speaking, that can be a multi-year process. It's not something that's going to be in place, even if, again, we decide to move forward with it, or at least propose it in the Federal Register. It's not something that's going to be in place in a very short amount of time. It's, like I mentioned, a very kind of prescriptive, lengthy process in order to make sure that we do get all the public comments. And without a doubt, I know that there was the mention of Owl's Head. We would certainly get in touch with the harbor master there and allow the public there an opportunity to comment as part of the formal process if we do decide to move forward with that proposal. So thank you for bringing up Owl's Head. That's definitely something that we would take into consideration.
So to close that question that was asked, someone said, is it a done deal? And it appears to me that it is not a done deal.
Right, it's not a done deal, and it's still, we've been deliberating on it for quite some time because we do understand the public interest in it, and ideally we would have been able to move quicker. Like I mentioned, we got the request back in July, but we have had a lot of internal discussions. We've charted it, we've looked at options, and so we're still, again, deliberating about it, and it is certainly not a done deal.
So since it's an outset, it's in Owl's Head waters. That's still considered federal waters?
It is, yes. That would be considered federal waters. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions at the table?
I'll just say that the one advantage I could see to creating it would be that we could then try to tell ships that that's where they're supposed to go, so that we can make plans on where, how to use the rest of the water around the area. But if it doesn't have a binding purpose, it doesn't really work. Then I don't care.
Yeah, one thing if we do have this, it would be somewhat of an exclusion zone for...
Can you get closer to the microphone, please?
Much more closer, and I'm going to be eating it.
Yeah. That's better.
It'd be somewhat of an exclusion zone for a fisherman to fish there at your own risk, instead of if you just drop it anywhere and have boats drop anchor wherever they may. You will know at some point that you may lose gear if you fish there.
One of the things that we would like to do in the upcoming season, unrelated to federal anchorage or not, is just to try to be, on the Coast Guard side, be more proactive in making sure that the mariners here understand when these larger cruise ships are going to be here and where they're going to be anchoring, whether that's through a marine safety information bulletin at the beginning of the year or through broadcast notice to mariners a day or two in advance of these cruise ships coming in. At least we can make people more aware of the schedule. And we, again, probably work closely with Matt Ripley to make sure that the local mariners are aware of it also. But there are some non-regulatory things that we can do that we've been brainstorming to try to make sure that people are aware when these cruise ships are going to be here.
And they can still fish in the area, correct?
That's right. They would still be able to fish in the area.
Mm-hmm. how long a time once you post something, whether it's in the local paper or the Portland paper, what is the period after that that there is public comment and more discussion? Is it
60 to 90 days?
Yeah, it's typically 60 to 90 days. Sometimes we'll extend it if we get a significant amount of public comment, and if we feel like we're still having many significant comments rolling in, those can be extended. But 60 to 90 days is the general time frame.
Okay, and I don't know that you can answer this because maybe you just don't know yet. But where are you in this process? I mean, it's been since July. I think you mentioned that you reached out, so you're still gathering information. But do you have an end date that you'll be done gathering information?
Not an official end date. I mean, we definitely understand the sensitivity to it right now, and we don't want to deliberate too much longer. So I would say in the next month or two, I think it's fair to say that we're hoping to get some kind of decision from our office on whether or not we're going to recommend moving forward with the federal notice of proposed rulemaking.
And when you say our office, is there a team of individuals that are going to make that decision? Or is it you three that are at this table, or a whole group of individuals within the Coast Guard?
Right, so we have one other person involved specifically. Captain Mike Baruti is the captain of the port for Northern New England. And then it's actually our district admiral in Boston that would be the one ultimately signing a regulation if it went into effect. So we would have to make that recommendation down to our district office in Boston that we think that we should move forward with the federal rulemaking process.
Okay. And if indeed you chose to move forward, what is that process? Does it go and it passes all the public comment, and then where does it go from there? It's just set into motion and finalized, or does it go into legislation? Or
right, so it would start with the notice of proposed rulemaking. We would receive all of the public comment associated with that notice of proposed rulemaking. We would have to respond back to all those comments and then do kind of the follow-on reviews that I mentioned as far as environmental review, economic review, mm-hmm. archaeological review. There's a whole host of requirements. I'm not a legal person. I don't know all the ins and outs of the federal rulemaking process, but there's a tremendous amount of different factors we have to consider about different entities that may be impacted. And then if all of that checks out satisfactorily, then we would be able to sign the regulation, and it would enter the Code of Federal Regulations and be in the Code of Federal Regulations, just like the other two Rockland acreages are.
Okay. And out of curiosity, where are the other two?
They're both...
they're both inside.
Yeah.
Inside, right?
Yeah. Off of Sharks Point.
That's what I thought. Okay. Okay. I'm asking all the questions. I'm sorry. So, if it's irrelevant and a ship comes in here and sort of parks itself wherever it wants, then why is it important to even consider a new federal anchorage?
Yeah, because the pilots feel that, with the pilots requesting it, the cruise ships are always going to have a pilot on board. So mm-hmm. I would have to imagine that with a pilot on board, a federal anchorage established that they specifically requested, that would be the primary place that they would take the large cruise ships. And, mm-hmm. And the other comments still apply as far as voyage planning mm-hmm. and letting transient mariners know that's where the large cruise ships are going to be. That's why they think that they should be established.
Okay, right. Any other questions at the table here?
No.
Well, this was pretty simple tonight for you.
I'm part of the audience. But why don't the cruise ships just anchor wherever they want to, which is what the system is right now? And what's the advantage versus the disadvantage of having a real anchor on the charts?
Right. I think that the advantage would be that, like I mentioned, the foreign crews that are coming in here for voyage planning, they're going to they'll be able to see specifically on a chart where these cruise ships are intended to anchor, and then boaters that may not be familiar with the area will understand that if they do see a large cruise ship in Rockland or they hear about a large cruise ship in Rockland, they'll know specifically where they are going to be anchoring. And then, like I mentioned, to potentially help with some gear loss if the lobstermen in the area knew specifically where these large cruise ships were going to go, and we could broadcast that in advance. that may be beneficial for them to minimize gear loss when these ships come in.
And is the anchorage area big enough for a big ship to swing all the way around, or if there's a wind shift?
Yes, it's big enough. It's a pretty significant area, I would say, that these ships could swing around. And again, when I say it, I don't want to make it sound like there's the request that we were submitted would be even the final geographic coordinates. All of that is under review right now. We have not officially decided whether or not what was recommended or proposed or requested from us is actually going to be what goes forward, or if it goes forward. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to dance around that topic. I just kind of want to make it as abundantly clear as possible that we have not, decided very much yet about the size, or even the existence of this anchorage area.
Could we put a mooring in there and say you've got to anchor here?
You're talking about Diva City?
Yeah.
Now, generally speaking, they're going to be operating either anchored or on dynamic positioning. I don't think that, I guess the city could potentially, but that's a long ways down the road. That's probably not for us to make a decision on tonight.
Yes.
From everything I've been hearing, it sounds like whether you have an anchorage or not makes no difference to Rockland as to how many cruise ships actually come in. Is there any way that the city or the Coast Guard can control the traffic and the amount of traffic from the cruise ships?
Certainly right now there are no limits on cruise ships that are entering into this port. As a Harbor Management Commission, we have, toyed with that and putting limits on ships for many years now, and it's something that we work with every year, and we're continuing to do that. Again, we always make recommendations to City Council, and it's ultimately the City Council's decision how that works out, but I would think at some point we would recommend some limitations.
Please.
But we're not, I mean... Yes?
Hi, I haven't seen this before. It's a copy of the letter written to, on July 6, 2017, by the pilots. And as I am sitting here perusing it, paragraph 2 says, the primary reason for this request is to safely accommodate the double-digit growth in cruise ship traffic which the state of Maine is experiencing. This season we see Portland receiving 46 large cruise ships, and Bar Harbor is expected to receive over 130 such vessels. An average size ship is now around 900 feet. And it goes into the history of when this all started. And then it describes the width, length, and depth of Rockland's A anchorage. This whole thing, as I read through, is a request to do this in order to facilitate more large cruise ships coming to Rockland. That was the reason for writing this letter. Has this letter been published?
I'm not sure of that.
What are the rules concerning the publishing of something like this, like in a local newspaper?
Do we know anything about that?
It's just a public record.
Record?
Yeah.
Okay. They're talking about a wreck that they couldn't find, and they're saying that... The Mediterranean and Asia are becoming less attractive for cruising, while the Northeast U.S. and Canada are becoming more attractive, and for a longer period of time through the year. It talks about the benefits of Penobscot Bay, management of cruise ship traffic. The members of our organization appreciate the opportunity to work with U.S. Coast Guard Sector Northern New England in an effort to better prepare our waterway for the coming increase in cruise ship traffic. Not only are the numbers of cruise ships on the increase, but the average size of such vessels is on the increase as well. Having a larger dedicated anchorage area will assist in keeping this traffic coming to our state and will serve all mariners with a clear illustration of where such vessels will likely anchor when coming to Penobscot Bay. We look forward to working with you to move this effort forward and are prepared to provide any further information which your staff may need to bring this effort to fruition. Thank you for your prompt attention. I think this should be published somehow. Thank you.
Ron, I think you were next, but you need to go to the podium for me. And anyone that has other questions, please follow suit.
Hi, Ron Hubert, Frank Crosby. I guess a couple of questions. One is there a decommissioning process if, after a while, it turns out the perceived positives aren't there or the negatives occur? And the other is, how many federal anchorages have your sector approved over the past, let's say, decade? And is there generally, 50% of the applications get approved, 100%? What's sort of the record?
So to the first question, if a regulation is enacted and then we ultimately decide that we want to deactivate it or remove it, it would go through the same rulemaking process or a very similar rulemaking process where we go through the Federal Register to advertise a notice of proposed rulemaking that would actually eliminate the regulation.
Would that be then if, for example, a local organization would be the ones that would bring that into that process, or would, let's say it wasn't you guys that were deciding that, but there was a concern the community would, could a town file that request for this deauthorization?
Yeah, they could file that. Ideally, as we're, I wouldn't envision that to happen in a very short amount of time. Now, ideally, if we are going to pursue this federal regulation route, all of that discussion or engagement will already be happening as part of the rulemaking process, so it shouldn't be a surprise to a local municipality that this rule or regulation is going to be in place. So I would not envision that there would be a quick turnaround as far as, we institute it and then we take it off the books.
It was just a what if. Okay, yeah. And about the number of applications that get leveraged?
Right, we haven't received an application recently to establish a federal anchorage. Other than Belfast, we have a notice of proposed rulemaking right now for a special anchorage area in Belfast that we're moving ahead with. And that's really for smaller vessels that are anchoring in Belfast Harbor. That's not the large cruise ships. And we do have cruise ship anchorages, or not cruise ship anchorages, but federal anchorages established in Portland. We have two anchorages there. They're all listed in the Federal Register. I can't rattle them off the top of my head. But we do have, in some of these larger ports, we do have other federal anchorages established.
Thank you. My name is George Terry, and I live in Rockland. Before I ask my two questions, and they're both informational, I want to express my appreciation for the open way in which you are addressing this meeting this evening and our questions. You are, I think, being quite constructive in the way that you bring what might easily be considered to be the overbearing reach of powers that none of us can control, and you presented yourselves as human beings with thoughtful views. So thank you. My first question is, are there published criteria that you use to evaluate whether or not you proceed in the recommendation of this anchorage for the next stage and ultimately for its approval? And the second question, from the perspective of the Coast Guard and the federal government, are there limitations on the fees that the city of Rockland can levy, usually on a per passenger basis, which have been a matter of discussion almost every year since I've lived here, for the servicing of the passengers that come ashore? Thank you.
Do you want to hear the second part of that? I'm not.
Yes. I'm trying. You can do the first one.
Okay, I don't think I'll be able to answer the second part of that question. That's not something that the Coast Guard typically gets involved with. As far as the first part of the question about how we go about evaluating an engineer, I don't think we have, to my knowledge at least, and that's one thing that Lieutenant Odom wrote down, that we will take a look at to see if there are any publicly available criteria that we use to evaluate whether or not we're going to establish an anchorage area. I'm not positive off the top of my head, admittedly, but if there is, we will certainly use it. And I'm just not sure if we do have something publicly available.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Valley Geiger. I'm the mayor of Rockland. And I just first want to say thank you so much for coming this evening. And I, for one, feel it incredibly helpful to just understand the facts of how you proceed. I also want to thank the Harbor Commission for inviting you and agreeing to be in a much larger space so that the rest of us could hear the facts of the meeting. I also just want to say I'm curious to know, I'm troubled by the lack of transparency that this process has been shrouded in. And I guess I want to know how common it is for a private group to petition you and not alert the municipality, the elected officials from surrounding towns that they are submitting such a letter. I'm really surprised that as part of their submission to you, it didn't also go to the paper, that it didn't also go to the surrounding towns. And I'm curious to know, is that common? Because I find the lack of transparency on behalf of what is a private group really troubling.
I'd say that we don't receive these petitions all that frequently. And thank you for the question, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate it. Thanks again for having us here. It is, per the federal regulations, it is a fair opportunity for any member of the public to petition the government for certain rulemaking actions. So there's nothing kind of against the regulations that this organization did when they made this request to us. And I probably am not the one to comment about the amount of outreach that they did in advance. But we once we receive that formal petition from them, we have to, again, take those certain actions to decide whether or not we're going to move forward with the rulemaking process. But it's hard for me to comment specifically on the amount of outreach.
Well, I guess the issue is that you were going to make the decision. You could well have made the decision before anyone in the surrounding town knew that the question was up for consideration. And that's what troubles me, is that I'm surprised that the letter wasn't sort of a public document.
Understood. And I think that, again, not to speak to them, but regardless of the amount of outreach that they had done leading up to it, for the federal government to potentially institute regulations, that's when they would have to go through the formal notice of proposed rulemaking regardless of the amount of outreach done in advance.
I'd like to thank Matt Ripley for producing the Coast Guard to us so we can have this discussion. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you. And thank you all very much for allowing it to happen here. So if this is an open and transparent place where this should be happening. My next question is exactly how many cruise ships will fit out in the outer harbor, arriving here at one time possibly? How many have you actually seen what our harbor looks like in the summertime? Because if there are two, I mean, we have enough trouble with one out there. If there are two or three out there, I don't even know. They're all going to be brought in by launch, off the passengers are, into Rockland Harbor. They're not going into Alsace. They're coming in here. And we don't have the infrastructure to handle that. So my first question is, how many anchorages are there out there? And how are we going to control the launches that are bringing them in and handle the number of passengers that could be arriving here? So those are my two questions. Oh, and one other thing is that I've been through all the minutes of the Alsace, it's the equivalent of our city council, and there is only one mention, and that was back on the 6th of November, that this federal anchorage is proposed. So that's, you know, that's very disturbing to me. Thank you.
Matt.
Sorry.
No, I think maybe it might help if you addressed
so
how many folks you could bring over that dock. And
well, to address the first one, we have two other anchorages in the harbor. However, the depth of water in those particular anchorages are not conducive to handling these 900 or 1,000 foot ships. At the deepest spot, it's like 48 feet roughly, but it's not large enough of a 48 foot spot to maintain these ships safely. So that's, I assume, partially why they decided on the area that they petitioned for, because it is deeper water. On the second part, how do we control or maintain the amount of people that do come over the docks and get tendered in from these ships? So over the past 2 years, I can't speak prior to the time that I've been harbor master in Rockland, but the last couple of years, we haven't had, knock on wood, any issues being able to tender roughly 2,100 people on any given day in and out of the public landing. We've been fortunate enough to where we haven't had any major mishaps. I would speak to the restrooms. The restrooms is definitely an issue that we need to talk about, especially if we did have more passengers than roughly 2,000. The docks, as I've spoke before, there is a problem with general access for the general public to be able to get on the rest of the public landing that is not affected by the amount of passengers coming on the southern side. They do have to go through a portion of security in accordance with our facility security plan. So they do have access, but it's not really unrestricted like it normally is. So as far as being able to, you know, cap the amount of people or cap the amount of cruise ships, the only way that I can see is being able to limit the amount of people coming over the public landing. But like I said, knock on wood, I haven't seen any major issues in the past 2 years.
Not yet.
Right. I can't speak for around town because I'm usually down on the docks when this is happening. So.
And isn't that the only way the city can control the number of cruise ships is the...
Right now, as I see it, any ship can anchor outside or inside Rockland Harbor. So, you know, seeking refuge from a storm, transiting to a different port, there's a whole host of reasons why ships may anchor in the area. We have no authority whatsoever to stop those vessels from anchoring. So, you know, with that being said, the only thing that really we can talk about is tendering over the public landing.
Chris.
My name is Christos Koulouris. I live here in Rockland. I hear you. This is not edible. My name is Christos Koulouris. I live here in Rockland. And I'd like to echo the sentiments of some of the others who spoke before me in thanking the Commission, Matt, and the representatives of the Coast Guard. I came in here knowing very little about this, and I feel like I'm leaving having a pretty good sense of what the issue is and what the procedures are, so thank you. My question's regarding the petition that's been filed and started this whole process going. I'm wondering if it could be received by the Commission as a part of the record. If it is, then that would make it available to the residents of Rockland in a fairly straightforward and simple way of obtaining it. Thank you.
I would think it's public record being given to the Coast Guard.
It was submitted to us. I would have to do a little bit of research as far as the right way to release that and what might need to be requested from us. But, I don't want to try to make it a secret. They did submit the letter to us. If there is a process in place that would have us release that letter to another public entity, then we're happy to follow it. But I would just want to make sure that we follow the right procedures, whether it's a Freedom of Information Act request or whatever has to happen. We can take that for action and look into how to get that released, if we are allowed to release it.
If that is indeed the case, could you make sure that that gets to Matt?
And yes,
that way we can...
We would have to file it.
Right, and you can file it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need a vote of the commission to request that, or...
No.
We'll just do it.
I'll just do it.
No. Yeah, that's great.
Hi, I'm back again. I think there's some false premises that have been introduced. First of all, by the Pilots Association, saying there are going to be more ships coming in. They are going to be bigger. I don't think that the city of Rockland has decided whether that's a good thing or not, whether it's detrimental to the city or whether it would add something positive. So I would urge you, when you're thinking about this, not to make the assumption that they are going to be coming, but rather that they might be. So you might want to hold off on your decision until you know what's going on here. My wife asked me to ask if there's any dredging that's required for the anchorage.
No, I don't think there is, but as part of the process, the Army Corps of Engineers would definitely be involved in the approval, so we would work with them to see if there was any dredging necessary, but I don't believe that there would be.
Okay. Certainly there has been pressure from Bar Harbor, where they've limited the number of boats that can, they're trying to discourage them from coming in. They tried to go to Northeast Harbor, which has prohibited them. And there are other harbors that have done the same. So there are ways of limiting the volume of people coming over our threshold. I wrote down someplace, but I have the wording of the Northeast Harbor ordinance that was put in place. So there are ways of doing that. There's something else that troubled me. You were saying that... one of the reasons to have the federal anchorage was to allow people on the ships to have better voyage planning. It sort of bothers me that the people on the ships, the interns maybe, or there's something, they can't read a chart, they can't read a GPS, they need some lines on a chart to plan a voyage. I mean, they could look and say, oh, Broad Cove, there it is, here's the depth, you know, okay, here's the GPS, where we should drop the anchor. I mean, I could do that. Well, I think I could have. Not good at such a big ship, but anyway, that's it.
Good evening, I'm Rhonda Nordstrom, and I own a business on Main Street, and I know this is about the harbor, but I just am compelled to say, I would really like to see transparency and know real numbers about how many businesses actually do benefit from these ships. And also, just to comment that I'm sure we're going to get more organized if they're going to keep coming. Last fall, when one of the major ships came, Main Street was chaos. It was as if it was our summer solstice party, and the street was shut off. They were walking in the middle of the street. It was really obnoxious and out of control. So I would just really like to know how many businesses really do benefit in Rockland County ships.
I'm Judith Anderson. I've lived here for almost 40 years in the Mid-Coast. I've watched a lot of changes. I now live in Owl's Head, and my shire town is Rockland. I shop here. I volunteer here. I walk here. I go to the library here. This is my town, too. And I feel that Rockland really needs to protect my town, Owl's Head. I think that would be a reciprocal thing to do. Owl's Head is really very vulnerable, I believe. I live near Broad Cove. Luckily, I'm not on it. But I hear the noise. I hear the rumbling. I hear the officers... announcements loudly in bed. It is disturbing. I'm terribly concerned about what it's going to do environmentally to us all. I hope that we can decide that we cannot take large numbers of cruise ships. I think it will be destroying us the way Bar Harbor has gone. We no longer go to Bar Harbor. It was one of our favorite places in the world. We cannot take those crowds. And I agree about the crowds that came with the last big ship. I avoided town entirely. I bought nothing there. And that's what I'm going to do again if we keep having more big ships. It breaks my heart. Thank you.
Do we have any other questions?
Hi, my name's Rose Wilson. I live in Rockland. I'm a little confused about the information tonight, specifically the different anchorages. I understand that there are two that are available besides the federal anchorage, but I think, Matt, you were saying that they are not suitable for the really big cruise ships. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So basically, we're looking at the federal anchorages and okay to let the really big ships in. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah. Well, they can still anchor there regardless of whether it's a federal anchorage.
Right, but basically we're opening the door a little wider, perhaps. Anyway, I'm just curious about whether the Coast Guard has any... I mean, obviously this is becoming a controversial issue for small towns, and I'm just wondering if the Coast Guard has any consideration... some of the things we're talking about tonight in their decision to permit a federal anchorage, if that's anything you are looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. I would say that there may be opportunities in the overall federal register notice. If you want to discuss the impacts to small businesses and things like that, there are opportunities in the Federal Register comment period. Typically, it focuses primarily on maritime interests, and we are, again, focused on the navigational and waterway safety, and we don't really start speaking in our process to some of these other, for us, ancillary concerns about the character of a town and things like that. We leave that to the local municipalities to decide upon, and we focus our efforts and our review primarily on the navigational and waterway safety.
Some of us have done our own research. It's a little contrary to Cruise Maine or some of the piloted data, and it's concrete data. At what point would you be interested in receiving that from us?
If we do decide to move forward with the formal notice of proposed rulemaking to establish the federal anchorage, that would be the time and the place. You would be able to submit it to the federal docket, and again, we would have to respond to all the comments. In some cases, we're able to group them together if they're all very similar, but generally speaking, we'll respond to every comment that we receive on the matter.
What's the process for us to know how to respond to you?
Right, so if we do decide to move forward with the notice of proposed rulemaking, we will advertise it as actively as possible, primarily through Matt Ripley to get the word out. But then I also, and it's a little bit premature, but I also would envision some opportunities for public meetings like this where, you know, here we're on behalf of the Harbor Commission, but if we do have this notice of proposed rulemaking, we would have Coast Guard specific meetings where we would be interested in hearing about the maritime interests associated with our proposal. So here we're just trying to explain the process and let everybody know that we're not that far along. But if we do decide to go forward with a formal process, we would have we would maybe even use this very room to have a formal Coast Guard run meeting to solicit public feedback. And then there's also always going to be the opportunity, as part of the process, to, if you don't want to speak publicly, to submit written comments to the docket online or via regular mail, again, that we would have to respond to.
If there are no other questions, I'm going to close the question and answer session. Are we all set?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for our meeting.